Good day, friends, and welcome to Bible Sunshine. It's hard to believe, but this is number 30 of these segments of studying God's Word together. We're very grateful for this opportunity to connect with one another and to be able to study the Scriptures together. We're looking at the book of Philippians, and today we continue in chapter 2 and the first five verses. So let's pray together and ask God to open our hearts and minds to His Word today. Father, thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for the book of Philippians. Thank You, Lord, for the attitudes that it commends to us. And we just pray, Lord, to be able to live out these truths in our lives by the power of Your Spirit. And we confess that we've often failed with conveying the attitudes that we see right here. We ask Your forgiveness, and we pray for Your help and strength by Your Spirit to demonstrate what we see here to a world in need of Christ and to brothers and sisters in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 tell us how to maintain unity in the church. And these principles really apply to other areas as well. For example, put these into practice in the family. They apply there and in the workplace. Well, let's look at God's Word once again. I want to reread these verses. Philippians 2, 1 through 5. Follow me along in your Bibles. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. First of all, to maintain unity in the local church, we need to receive the encouragements to unity in verse 1. We need to recognize the elements of unity in verses 2 and 3. I'd like to pick up there and then move on to a third point today. But notice in verse 2, the Apostle Paul says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. So we see here a blending of thought processes, an agreement of love, a partnership of soul, a focus of aim through communication and through demonstrating the love of Christ to one another. So that's His desire for God's people. And then notice in verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. So there we see the viewing of self properly in a humble way. And then, verse 4, look out for the interest of others, a centering on others. So here are elements of unity. Recognize these elements. Blending of thought processes together through communication, viewing of self properly, and centering on others. But now let's go back and look at it in a negative way. And that's the third point on how to maintain unity in the church. I need to reject and replace the enemies of unity. Reject and replace the enemies of unity. And in verse 3, he says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or strife. Here is an attitude of cliquishness, an attitude of rivalry, an attitude of faction, where we have our little group, our favorite people, we have our own desires to promote, and we come together with selfish desires, selfish ambition. And that attitude needs to be replaced. He said, let nothing be done in that way. To make ourselves look better, that can be so disunifying, especially when it's at the expense of others. And usually it is. When we're climbing to the top, we're stepping on someone's head or shoulders to get there. Let nothing be done through this selfish ambition or conceit or vain glory. It's one word that's comprised of two words, one vain and the other word glory. So desiring our own self-promotion. Here is an attitude of self-promotion that it's all about me. As we mentioned yesterday, the Burger King mentality. Have it your way. It's all about you. Self-promotion. It doesn't matter what others want or think. It's all about you promoting yourself. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, for to me to live is the Apostle Paul. No, that is not what he said. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In the book of Galatians, he said in chapter 2, I have been crucified with Christ. I'm dead. I died with the Lord Jesus Christ. My selfish ambitions died with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is the very opposite of self-promotion. Knowing that life is Christ. It's about Christ, and I'm living for his cause, for his glory. Listen to these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, where the Apostle Paul says, for the love of Christ constrains us. It hems us in on every side, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. This attitude of vainglory, of self-promotion, is the very opposite of 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15, Galatians 2, 20 and 21, and Philippians 1, 21. Opposite of that, where we find here, it's about Christ and living for Christ. It is not about our self-promotion. Mind you, this cuts directly against the course of this world that tells us in every way and teaches children from youngest ages that it's all about you. And have it your way. So when we come to Jesus and we're saved, we need a complete reorientation. And that's the growth in grace, the growth in sanctification, that we realize it's less about us and it's more about Christ. And if we don't have that attitude, then we're going to demonstrate what Paul said, don't let this be with you, this vainglorious, self-promoting attitude. And it's going to cause disunity. Well, just like those peacocks strutting about and demonstrating the glory of the colors of their feathers, but also with very loud voices, sometimes people are like that, and they cause disunity in the home, in the workplace, or in the local church. May it not be with us. May we have an attitude of humility instead. Well, notice also one other enemy here of unity, and that's in verse 4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, not looking out for our own interests, not looking, taking care of number one. You say, well, why would we do that? Think of this. It's one thing for children to run to the front of the line when there's a potluck dinner. That's one thing. And they need to be taught that it's not about them first. But what about adults who run to the potluck dinner first? To be first. to promote themselves instead of looking out for the interests of others? Are the guests fed first? Are the elderly fed first? Why do I have to be first in line? You know, I'm always amused here, and I've gotten to where it's become a point of humor to just observe the traffic here in Brooklyn, New York. And one of my favorite stunts is when you're pulled up to a light and someone is in the far right lane, perhaps they're even parked, and in front of one or two lanes of traffic, they do a U-turn right in front of you because it's very important that they get to where they're going. Or someone rushes in front of you and beats you to the stoplight, but it was very important for them to be first. Or even worse, when a pedestrian absolutely takes their life in their hand and goes against a green light, you have the green light, you're driving, but it's more important for them to be first and to cross in front of the traffic against the light, even at the risk of their life, because they want to be first. Well, friends, that attitude is so natural to our depraved human nature. I want to be first. It's an attitude of selfishness. And God's plan for us in the body of Christ is to put that attitude away, to not look just for our own interests, but also for the interest of others, and other-centeredness, not just looking out for big old number one. You know, there are a couple words that children use. They're not exactly proper. At least one of them is not, but they speak so powerfully. The first word is dat, D-A-T. And the next word is mine, M-I-N-E, mine. And little kids can say early on, and they learn to say, dat mine. And dat is a short for that is mine. But sometimes this might follow as well. Dat mine, you go away. Dat mine, you go away. Leave my toys alone. I want them all to myself. May God help us to not have a self-centered attitude as we live the life of Him who gave His all for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just introduce the fourth way to have unity in the local church. It's to respect the example of unity in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And what follows is a tremendous and deep passage. I would encourage you to read it a few times before we meet together on Monday, Lord willing, and look at this example of humility and unity. So may we have in our homes, in our marriages, in our churches, unity by receiving the encouragements, recognizing the elements of unity, rejecting and replacing the enemies of unity, and respecting the example of unity. Well, God bless you, friend, and may God help you to be unified with brothers and sisters in Christ for the glory of God. As we go to prayer today, we start over on our prayer calendar. Day number 1 takes us to Algeria, Africa. Number 25 on this persecution ranking, Benin, Africa, and Burkina Faso. I saw recently how the COVID virus was rampant in Burkina Faso, a little West African country. So let's pray for believers in these countries and for God's grace in their lives. Our Father, we thank You that Jesus humbled Himself, came to this earth, and died that we might have eternal life and forgiveness of sins. Lord, teach us to have other-centered life, Christ-centered lives, and not that mine kind of lives. And Lord, I pray for the believers in Algeria and Benin and Burkina Faso. I pray You would multiply their numbers. I pray for any who are inflicted with the COVID-19 virus, that you would bring medical care to them and healing to them. We pray that you would raise them up. But Lord, for those that are facing persecution, opposition, mockery, will you bolster their spirits, encourage and strengthen them, and help them, and give them, Lord, teachers who will teach the Word of God to them. And we pray that they will grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And our Father, I pray this weekend that believers in Christ all over the world will have access to your Word through the internet, through shortwave radio, through television, through the printed page. And Lord, may you bless your Word. Bless every pastor giving forth the Word of God. Bless every message that is conveyed, that the Word of God will be clearly known, that people will be saved, that believers will grow in grace. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Send a revival among us for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's my understanding, friend, that our Bible Sunshine Facebook Live posts are now uploaded on our East End Baptist Church sermon audio page. We encourage you to go there and find any of the segments that you missed. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. God bless you. May His light shine upon you.